When pianist Greg Spiro was in the fifth grade, the teacher asked the question of the entire class. That question, what do you want to be in 30 years? Greg Spiro's answer was, I want to be a music star. How do you do that? You do that with a family who cares, a family with experience to lend a direct helping hand, and you listen because it's about communication. Please welcome to WBGO and Morning Jazz, Greg Spiro and Spirit Fingers.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us this morning on WBGO, you are in for a treat, man. You are in for a treat because the kind of feel that you just heard from Greg Spiro and Spirit Fingers, the new recording that came out last week on Shaughnessy Records, they're letting us inside the feel for what they have going on these days. In fact, the polyrhythms that may have confused you and may have caused you to stutter step across the room, we're going to break all that down for you throughout the morning and give you an idea of just how it all comes together. And Greg Spiro, for you and the guys here with us today, it was formerly a band called Polyrhythmic, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was the original name of the group.
Yeah. And tell us who we're listening to this morning.
Well, these are some really incredible cats that are in this band. Firstly, there's Hadrian Farad, the bassist, and then Mike Mitchell on the drums, and Dario Cazzolino on the guitar, playing the nylon string guitar.
And yourself.
And yes, I'm Greg Spiro.
Yes, and Greg Spiro. So if you have heard anybody from the Buddy Rich Big Band to Christian McBride, our host for Jazz Night in America, Stanley Clark, Arturo Sandoval, Chick Corea, Kamasi Washington, you know, these people have all lent their energies to some of those names and some of that creativity. So they're coming together with us this morning, and maybe you caught them last week live at the Shapeshifter in Brooklyn. Maybe you caught them last night in Chicago at the Hideout. Well, they're not hiding out this morning. They're right out in the open. Spirit Fingers, how did the idea for this kind of, it's, I don't want to call it free association, but it's changing in the moment, isn't it? How did it originally come together, this music?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said earlier, the original name of the band was Polyrhythmic, and it was actually born out of a process that I was going through, expressing a frustration that I was having on tour. I mean, the world is in a pretty wild place right now, and there are lots of reasons to be there are lots of places in which we see upset. And it sort of enters into our souls and into our psyche. And at the same time, I was on a long bus tour and facing a little cabin fever, and I needed to give my brain some exercise. So I was playing with a pop artist at the time, and after one of the pop shows that we played, I ran back to the tour bus and needed some sort of exercise for my mind. And so I took out my computer and then my little Yamaha like keyboard, the mini keyboard, and laid down two time signatures that didn't really go together, but together, 17/16 and then 4/4. And then listened to that beat over and over again and wrote a tune over it. It was a whim. I didn't know that we were actually going to play any of it ever, but I just knew that I needed to give my brain something to, some medicine, and that was the medicine that I was
getting. Sure, it's like working out, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because
exactly.
You were on the road, for those of you that don't know, you were on the road with the electro pop star Halsey. So you're playing some pretty big stadiums,
mm-hmm.
and large venues.
Yeah, it was 15,000 person arenas. Though this happened earlier, because I was with her since our first show to 80 people 3 years ago. So this was about midway through. I think we were playing like 2,000 or 3,000 cap venues, and it was in London. I can't remember the venue that we were playing there, but we were on a bus tour in the UK, and that's when this started coming to me, because we'd been playing for a while, and I had been sort of neglecting my own. I mean, I've been obsessed with jazz and music and instrumental music for my whole life. I was neglecting that passion a bit while I was on the road. Doing this more familiar music, so this was a way of giving my soul that nourishment that it needed.
Sure, I can understand that. You know, I have a friend, Mike Davis, and a very fine jazz trombonist, mm-hmm. and he joined the Rolling Stones, and his first gig was at the Giants Stadium, you know, where the New York Giants play football. So it was like 80,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and he's standing backstage, and he turns to Keith Richards, and he goes, "Wow, you guys must have a hell of a mailing list." Right?
Right.
For you jazz folk, you understand. But when you're on the road with somebody like that, the natural feel to absorb everything around you mm-hmm. certainly influences what you create, does it not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that filtered into the music that I created for the band at the time, which was, well, I mean, I wasn't even creating it for a band at the time. It was just the music that I was writing when we first started it. So a lot of what was going around us just filtered into that music, because I believe that when you compose, you're composing from your deepest part, your soul, and everything around you, your entire environment, filters into your mind and your soul, no matter what you do, like whatever you listen to, the conversations you have, the music you hear, it all comes out through the music that you create when you create honest and genuine music.
So. And the conversation and the creativity for you early on in the exposure was the Windy City of Chicago, when that blues and two parents who were both musically inclined themselves. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of fortunate where you grew up. And I suspect, you know, that you joined your father sometimes and you were, you know, playing blues joints and...
Oh, yeah. When I was 14, that was my first real gig, and it was in my dad's blues band. He had a blues band called the Slack Daddies, and it was all guys in there, like, I think they were all in their 40s at the time. And I just... Like I played organ and piano. My dad played my dad and I each did the organ and piano in the group. We like swapped and switched off at the gigs. But I have very fond memories of setting up my keyboard rig on a pool table in a smoky bar, because that was when smoking was legal in Chicago too. And then just rocking out for the evening. And I was a kid, you know? I was like, they called me the kid in the group. But I had so much fun in those days.
We're chatting with Greg Spiro. The new record, Spirit Fingers, came out last week on the 16th from the folks at Shaughnessy Records. And for you, those early experiences through your own father, who studied through the mail with Manfredo Fest, who's an incredible keyboard player, who I believe lives in Canada now, if I'm not mistaken. But also, now, do those kinds of experiences also indirectly influence you gravitating toward not just the acoustic piano, but also plugging in as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I love electronics. Electric keyboards. I was playing them all the time in Chicago. I became known as that guy who would bring out like four or five keyboards to a gig, no matter what the gig was, and just like set up this entire spectrum of sound to be able to use, because I have so much fun with it. The only reason I'm doing acoustic pianos now is because I want to strip away everything except for the bare musicality. And that's also why we have nylon string guitar for the most part. We're not even dealing with different timbres. We're dealing with the historical baseline of this type of ensemble, so that the concept can be on the forefront. In later albums, believe me, we'll be incorporating electronics.
Yeah. You hear that, folks? He's looking over his shoulder. Did he get some traction? And we're listening to Spirit Fingers, the new record. Greg Spiro, I believe the first thing we heard was Inside, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah, which is the opening cut on the recording. What are we going to hear next, guys?
Why don't we do our next track called Being? Thank you.
That, my friends, is how we say good morning and thank you for your support. Gary Walker on Morning Jazz, our own Nate Chenin says, of Spirit Fingers, rolling cinematic compositions, polyrhythmic groove, you heard it, morphing and changing like a weather system. Coming alive here this morning, man. I don't know how you guys do it. And last night in Chicago, last week at Shapeshifter, and this kind of spirit is alive and well on the new Shaughnessy record, appropriately titled Spirit Fingers. And you worked really hard at this. It's not, you know, I love this when people said, wow, man, he's an overnight sensation. He just came out of nowhere. You've been working at this thing since you were 4 years old, man, and have been honored by your own hometown of Chicago, I think, as the best jazz entertainer, the Chicago Music Awards. And the youngest ever to receive that honor. And at the age of 33, I got to tell you, you play way beyond your years. And that comes from not being afraid to look over your shoulder, some of your influences.
Oh, man. There are a lot of influences, but probably my greatest is the living legend Herbie Hancock. His entire history from his beginnings in the Miles Davis band and all the recordings since then, as he helped shift the course of music over and over again throughout his lifetime. Each of those eras has been a major influence on me, including his acoustic piano work, his harmonic ideas, and his use of electronics.
Oh, I still remember, you know, in the early 70s, walking into a party one night, and I'm not a musician, but I was struck by da-dun, da-dun-dun. Dun 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 dun.
Yes.
Dun, dun,
oh man. And see, I was covering.
And it's like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah. That's Sly, and I was covering that in bands, including the Frank Russell Band. We played that a lot in Chicago. One of the bands that I was first in when I came back from college and was cutting my teeth on the Chicago scene.
Yeah. You mentioned Miles Davis too, in various settings, and you have had the opportunity to work with Robert Irving III.
Robert, yeah, Bobby, as we call him,
yeah.
He was aside from my father, he was my first mentor on piano. It was when I was 19 that I met him, and he opened my mind. Man, it's really interesting because both he and Herbie, the people who are on this high level of functionality in their playing and their conceptual ideas, they have takes on life that are very unique and beyond anything that I was exposed to before that. And he was the first person to really open my mind to that deeper, more spiritual side of life and music and how we live and how we create as human beings.
And I believe, as a non-musician, that if you don't do that, no connection can be made.
No. Then it becomes an exercise, a technical exercise, which you hear a lot, actually. And
a lot of math problems.
There are lots of math problems. And don't get me wrong, I love math problems. I love exercising my brain, and this whole concept was spawned from that. But that's not the reason that music is good. That's, you know, that allows you to access different spaces of music, which I'm very interested in. But then the reason that music is good is when it comes from your soul, when it comes from your heart.
And it comes from the souls and the hearts and the minds of the people with us this morning. And I guarantee you there's people on the other side of the microphone, the audience, that are making the connection, man, making the connection to Spirit Fingers and the pieces we've heard so far this morning. Hey, kids, what time is it? It's polyrhythmic time.
I was wondering where that was going. It's quite interesting. I like it.
And what we're going to do here is, you know, to you guys, you can tell it's as natural as breathing in and out, isn't it? To listen and work off of each other at a pace that's so rapid, you should all get tickets, right? But you just make it work. And there's a natural feel to making it work that way at a rate of speed that's unbelievable. But if we could break this all down and construct, for the folks at home, an example of how something is approached polyrhythmically. Could we do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Well, listen to me like I'm part of the band. But take a piece of music. You mentioned Herbie. Maybe a Herbie piece?
I feel like that's a great idea. Why don't we take the tune Maiden Voyage, one of the Herbie classics, and we can show the audience how to construct a polyrhythmic version of a classic song. Yeah? All right. So maybe we start with just playing Maiden Voyage, how it goes.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, and now you're gonna hear that Herbie classic, with oversized cams and glass packs and dual four barrel carburetor, and you're gonna hear it with four musicians, really feeding an energy into the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Maiden Voyage.
So the way we're gonna do it now is that there's a tune called Maps that we have on our debut record that takes a 5/4. It's a 5/4 polyrhythm, and it can be filtered into anything, really. So now we're going to take that rhythm and filter it into Herbie's classic Maiden Voyage. So normally you have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. But if you put the 5 over it, you have, like, if you do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it becomes 1, 2. Wait, sorry, it's That's it. So that's the rhythm that you get when you put the 4 and the 5 together. We're gonna do that over Herbie's Maiden Voyage now.
Spirit Fingers. We're with Greg Spiro today. Thank you.
That was fun.
Indeed it was. And folks, you listening, you've just enjoyed the first class in Polyrhythms 101. And it was probably, I can't think of a better way to be stuck at the Lincoln Tunnel than to be enjoying this kind of music. We're with Greg Spiro on piano and Dario Chiazzolino on guitar. Am I saying that right?
Chiazzolino. Oh, all right. Italian.
From Adrian Ferrat. Yes. On the bass from France.
It is.
And Mike Mitchell on the drums from Dallas. Greg, tell me, was it hard finding these cats, or was it just a natural thing that you all came together?
I wouldn't say it was either too hard or too natural. It was more so it was easy to find them. It was challenging to come to the center that we're at now musically. And it's because each individual member of this group is incredibly special as a musician, they have their own very unique voice. And as we were talking about off the mic earlier, they put in the work themselves and have become this individual powerhouse. Each member has become their own individual powerhouse. So bringing it together and having it codify around the concept, that is a process that took 2 years to do. We had our first concert 2 years ago, just private things. We were basically studying internally, figuring out where we were finding our center. And now that we've found it, we're releasing this album. But it's because Hadrian, for example, he's one of the most virtuosic bass players in the world. I don't know of anybody who could really beat him technically, and harmonically as well. It's crazy, and he's incredibly controlled in his technique. And then you have Mike Mitchell, who is one of the wildest drummers that you'll ever meet. His capabilities on the drums. I was actually talking to some other drummers about this yesterday. The powerhouse fiery nature is virtually unparalleled. And but Mike is a super, super chill guy. So he's got this, like, he's just there, just existing. But when he exists, this, like, fire, this crazy inferno comes out from his heart through the drum kit. And then you put him and Hadrian together, and there are these two, like, very, very different personalities, but coming to a centerpiece of a concept. And when you do, I feel like when you do that effectively, it's so powerful. I mean, it creates this landscape for me to play over that I sometimes have to kind of hold together, that is very that's very special. I feel like I've found something very special. And then Dario Chiazzolino coming in and playing the role sort of as my musical partner in this fiery whirlwind that we're dancing in. It's and Dario in his own right is one of the top of our generation on guitar, and you just wait until you hear more about Dario. He's already being covered worldwide, much less in the U.S. than I think he should, but it's about to happen. And he sits with me. You'll hear he does these ostinatos with me when we're doing the polyrhythms. He holds it down, like, side by side, and so together as a quartet, it creates a chemistry that is that's relatively unique. And that's why it took so long for us to actually come together with the material conceptually in a way that I feel like is ready for the world. But now that it's ready, I'm excited to be here on WBGO.
And we're excited to have you here too. Ostinato, can we get the feel for some of that from the group now, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. An ostinato. I mean, an ostinato is a repeated pattern. So you have something like this on the piano, and then there's the melody that goes along with it. Like for this next tune that we're going to play, the melody is in 13 over the quarter note ostinato. So the melody, the first melody is this. And then there's another built on top of it. Should we just go on and play the tune, do you think?
The new record, Spirit Fingers, our guest this morning, Greg Spiro, and bandmates.
Thank you.
It's WBGO, it's Spirit Fingers. And it's a whole lot of spirit in the fingers and the hands and the feet that come together. You ever been to church? It's call and response. But when you take 17-16 and you lay a 4-4 over top of that and some other layers going on, then the call and the response both become global in nature, don't they?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I like that.
Your friend Quincy Jones
mm-hmm.
ascribes to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always been a global person. And when asked one time, why is it that so many people around the world don't like America? And you know what his response was? Only 3% of the people in this country have passports. Isn't that frightening?
Mm.
You know, so you know what he's saying there, is that how do you expect somebody to reach in if, on the other hand, you're not reaching out?
No, we're speaking from a global genre.
Yes.
Jazz is here because of influences from all around the world.
Quincy Jones calls you a soulful person, especially inside your music. That must mean a lot to you.
It does. It does. Yeah, Quincy's support is one of the it's one of the things I hold the most dear. I was just at his house 2 days ago for his birthday, and I handed him the first copy that I got of this CD. Yeah, sorry, I didn't tell the guys. It was right before we played. I was actually a little late to the gig because I was at Quincy's house, but it was hard to leave. I mean, Stevie Wonder sang him happy birthday. It was cool.
Who's Stevie Wonder?
but yeah, and Quincy's proud of the direction that we're going in, and he's one of my greatest influences as far as arranging goes, and as a musician and a producer. He produced some of the very best music that has existed over the past like 60 years. It's crazy. And he just turned 85.
And his ears are still open. I mean, I'm thinking of someone like Jacob Collier.
Mm, yep.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And Jacob and I actually... Yeah, he's got that thing. Jacob is one of the young cats that really understands. And he and I actually have a lot of the same. We've spoken about our concept, and we have some similar things that we take into account as far as some of the deeper concepts like dark harmony, and ways of composing, ways of understanding intellectually the concept of the piano, and of scales. But yeah, Jacob is one of those brilliant people. Herbie's raising a lot of really great musicians right now, and he's looking to the younger generation to carry the torch into the future from the history that has been so incredibly laid out for us to stand on top of. And we're standing on mountains that have been built by cats like Count Basie and Duke Ellington and Byrd and Miles. Everything that we do is fully built on and referencing everything that they've done. Quincy's one of the cats who helps the younger generation understand that and progress it.
Thank you for helping us understand the varied influences from around the corner, from behind you, from the history books, from the old 78s that you may listen to, mm-hmm. to what's going to happen next week and the week beyond. It's contained here, what you've heard and what you've felt this morning. It's called Spirit Fingers, and it's a new recording on Shaanike. Our guest today on WBGO, Greg Spiro on piano, Dario Chiazzolino on guitar, and Hadrian Farad on the bass, and Mike Mitchell on the drums. Spectacular. Will you take us out with something here today? And what was the last thing we heard? I didn't even ask.
That last one. Well, it's funny because we know it as tune 16. It was one of the tunes that I used to just call them by numbers. We eventually had to name the songs to
release
them.
That's like the Basie band, you know, when they used to go mm-hmm. on the road, that 56, you know, and everybody knew.
Well, yeah, because what's in a name, you know? The name, to me, the name doesn't matter. To me, the name is just something to let people consume it. It's the music, the content of the audio that is that's there. So this one we called tune 16, but that last one we called tune 16, but it's actually called Find on the record.
Speaking of Find, where can people listening now find out more information about this wonderful creative collective that you brought here to WBGO Today website and thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have, yeah, we're getting our social media game together. We've got a Facebook page. If you look up Spirit Fingers on Facebook and you look for the image of the band, then you'll find us. And spiritfingers.live is our website. And, you know, you can also, I'm always posting about what we're doing. If you look up Greg Spiro on Facebook and, on various social media, Instagram, and Twitter, we have all of it.
And thanks to all you guys coming down here today. I said all you guys because the other three members of the band, you make it sound like it's, you know, 12, 16 pieces going on here.
Yeah, these guys definitely fill up the space in a beautiful way.
And people we haven't mentioned, you know, like Mark Cavanaugh, another fine guitarist who was an inspiration to you.
Yeah,
and Mark said, hey, man, that stuff you're doing there, mm-hmm. those layers, mm-hmm. you need to complete that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, Mark is the one who pushed me to put this group together in the first place. He saw my compositions and heard me doing them kind of nonchalantly in Chicago, and he was like, man, you gotta do this. So then he was a powerful force in helping it all come together.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Do us a favor on WBGO and for our audience here this morning. Take us out with one more, and what are we going to hear?
This last tune is appropriately titled, You.